I just want to begin by thanking the Neshe for arranging this. It's a wonderful opportunity for both of us to be able to speak. I want to thank Mrs. Middleman for hosting this. So I want to speak about Shavuos. I want to discuss what it is exactly we're supposed to be doing on Shavuos. And the question is an especially pertinent question because every other Yontiv is very clear what we're supposed to be doing. On Pesach, you know, a woman's job is very defined, a man's job is very defined. There's cleaning, there's leading the Seder, there's eating matzah, there's eating maror. There's the 7 days of Pesach. It's very, really clear what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be relating to the Yontiv. Sukkahs likewise. You know, there's the preparing for Yontiv, there's building a sukkah, there's eating in a sukkah, etc. It's very clear what it is that we're supposed to be doing. Yet, on Shavuos, doesn't seem to be anything specific, any specific act or action, or even food, other than cheesecake, that's like associated with the Yontiv, right? So, what do you think the Torah wants from us on this Yontiv? What are we really supposed to be doing? What is the purpose of this Yontiv? We're celebrating Kabbalah Sotar, but what are we supposed to be doing? And, you know, men, it would seem that this would be like a man's Yontiv. You know, the men, they go to shul, they learn all night, and they have what to do. And the women are home for 2 long days, you know, 3 long days this year. And so that it becomes difficult to understand, you know, what is the purpose. But the truth is that really this concept of staying up all night is relatively a recent innovation as far as, you know, these things go. It really began in the beginning of the 1600s, end of the 1500s, with the, there was a very chashuv shul in Tzfas in Eretz Yisrael. It had a very nice minyan. There was Beis Yosef was part of that minyan. You know, the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, the Shlaim Alkevitz, he was the shamist, the one who wrote the Luchadidi. The Sefer Charedim was the Gabbai. The Arizal Davin in that shul. And this shul, they instituted this practice of staying all night. It was based on a Zayar. And Sefer Ashlo, it says a whole beautiful description of what it was like, that the first night, not even all 10 of them stayed up. The whole minyan didn't stay up all the first night. It was just, I mean, I don't know what the other ones were doing, but they weren't in shul, Al Kapanim. And they stayed up, and the Beis Yosef had a, Rav Yosef Karo had a malach. They used to learn with him. And that night, he learned with everybody, and they described exactly what the malach said, and he encouraged them that they should get a minyan the second night, and the second night they stayed up again. And they wrote that they weren't even able to sleep during the day because the Beis Yosef gave a shir the whole day. So they were up basically, so 72 hours straight. And it was even more, you know, what happened the second night was even more. But this is where it began from, this minute of staying up. But it didn't exist before that. So as far as men are concerned also, what are they supposed to be doing on Shavuos? What is it that Torah really wants us to do? Well, how are we supposed to relate to this Yontiv? The truth is that the Gemara says that there's really only one mitzvah on Shavuos. And the mitzvah on Shavuos is to be b'simcha. That's the mitzvah on Shavuos. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. The Gemara says as follows. The Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara over there has a discussion whether on every Yontiv, how exactly should you divide up your day? Should you learn half the day and eat half the day? Should it be totally one way or another? There's a whole discussion in the Gemara exactly how to divide up the day of Yontiv. And the Gemara says that on Shavuos, everybody agrees that you have to have a Suda and you have to spend a good part of the day just celebrating the Yontiv in a very, you know, physical way. Eating a Suda and enjoying the Yontiv and doing all the things that we do to enjoy a Yontiv. Why, the Gemara says? Because Yom Shnitnim B'Tayra, it's the day that the Torah was given. And Rashi explains, She yismach boy b'maychel v'mishte, you should be happy with eating and drinking, laharos, to show, shenoyach ha'mekubal yom zeli Yisrael, that we're very satisfied and we're very accepting of this day, Yisrael, Shenit Natarabai. So the mitzvah on Shavuos is to eat and to drink and to be besimcha to show how happy we are about Kabbalah Satar. The Gemara continues on to say that Rav Yosef was the one of the Amiraim. He was the Rebbe of Abaye and Rava, and he on Atzeres on Shavuos, he would arrange a special dish. It's called the Egla Tulsa, very expensive and chashuv, a piece of meat. And he would say, "Ilav hayoyim, if not for this day of Yontiv, kama Yosef ikka b'shuka. Look how many people with the name Yosef there are on the street, and I would be a nobody." But Rashi says a very interesting expression. He says, "Ilav hayoyim, if not for this day, shalomadati Torah, I learned Torah, v'nisra mamti, and I became elevated, and I became exalted. Harei nashim harbe b'shuk, there are many people in the street, shishmam Yosef, ama b'ni l'veinam. And what would be the difference between me and them?" So the Gemara is explaining to us that what Hashem wants from us on Shavuos is very different than what He wants from us on every other Yontiv. On every other Yontiv, there's a discussion. Do you have to eat? Don't you have to eat? How much of the day should be spent in eating and drinking? How much of the day should be spent in learning? And on other Yontiv, we have other mitzvahs, which clearly define to us what we should be doing. You know, Pesach, Chametz, Matzah, Maror, Sukkah, building a sukkah, eating in the sukkah, Rosh Hashanah, blowing a shofar, and Yom Kippur fasting, it's very clear. On Shavuos, it's very clear as well. Be happy, and be b'simcha on the fact that we're being mekabel Torah, to show how happy we are about it. And the appreciation of the Yontiv is to appreciate the fact what the Torah has done for us, how much it's elevated us, and how much we've become such totally different people because we're zeicha to have the Torah. There's a beautiful story. I heard this from Rav Shiva, that he heard this from the person himself. The fellow was a lawyer in Montreal, and he was telling Rav Shiva that he had a company which he was doing a deal for, and he was negotiating, brokering the deal, and the lawyer on the other end, he said, had such a foul language, such a terrible mouth. He said that after 2 weeks of dealing with him, he just called the deal. This lawyer from Montreal, from Iyid, he told that lawyer, "I'm sorry, I just can't deal with you anymore. I can't take this language, the way you speak and the way you express yourself. I'm not used to this. I can't deal with this. Deal's off." 2 weeks later, this lawyer, the non-from Jew, calls up this person and he says, "You know, what you said, I was touched by that. And it made a big impression on me that, you know, that my language had such an effect on you that you couldn't even continue the deal. Tell me, what can I do to change? What can I do to change my language, change my way, my mode of speech?" So the from lawyer from Montreal, he suggested that they start learning. And they made a Seder on the phone. They learned once a week. Once a week became twice a week. Twice a week became three times a week. It became four times a week. Slowly, this person started being kashrus. He started doing. He started keeping Shabbos. Little by little, he was ready to accept the ganze Yiddishkeit. All from just experiencing that, you know, someone that learns Torah, someone that's a ben Torah, doesn't talk that way. That's just not the way you speak. We're an elevated people. We have a different way of speaking. The end of the story is actually interesting as well. After some time, he really was ready to embrace Yiddishkeit totally, and Taras and Mishpacha and everything. But his wife wasn't on the same page as him. And she wasn't ready. And he was married to her. He loved his wife. They had two children. But she really wasn't ready for this. So he called his old chavrusa. He called this lawyer from Montreal. He says, "Listen, you got me into this. You have to get me out of this. What am I going to do now?" So this is a long time ago. Rav Shach was still alive. So he suggested that they go to Bnei Brak to visit Rav Shach and ask him an etza, what they should do. So he told his wife, this formerly non-from lawyer told his wife that, you know, "We're going to Bnei Brak to ask one of the sages there what we should do." So she said, "Okay, I'm out. I know, there's no chance. A rabbi in Bnei Brak, you know, what's he going to say?" So they went to Rav Shach. They went there on a Tuesday, and he explained the question to Rav Shach. So Rav Shach says, "I want to think about it. When are you leaving?" He said, "Well, we're going to be leaving on Sunday." So he said, "Right before you leave, on your way to the airport, stop here in Bnei Brak and I'll give you an answer." They stopped in Bnei Brak on Sunday, and Rav Shach told them, "Listen, you have to know that your wife is right. You can't force this on her. You got married to her, you didn't get married to her with this in mind, having this, you know, with on these terms. You can't force such a thing on her. You can't force Taras and Mishpacha on her. She's in the right." all you can do is you can ask her a favor. You can ask her a favor to do one thing. You can, you know, not kashrus, not Shabbos, you can't force anything on her. You can ask her a favor. If she would like to, she can, you know, be nice and allow you to keep taras mishpacha. That is, you can ask her for a favor, but more than that, you can't do. So he was very surprised by this answer. So he went back, and he told this to his wife, and she also was very blown away by this answer. The end of the story is that now, you know, she's a frum woman, she wears a sheitel, her children are learning in kail. The foresight of a gadol b'Torah. But this is the ilav hayayimah shalamadati Torah v'nisra mamti. The Torah has that effect on us. It makes us totally different people. I was just speaking to someone in the shul. He told me that he was from Philadelphia, and he was speaking to his rav in Philadelphia, and he told him that, you know, this guy, he said, after the last Siyum HaShas, we started Daf Yomi, and he had never learned before, and he joined, an older man, 50-year-old man, had joined the Daf Yomi. He said, you're not going to recognize him anymore. He's a different person. He's just a different person. You won't recognize him anymore. It has that type of effect on us, the Limud HaTorah. And that's what we're celebrating on Shavuos. We're celebrating what we've gotten from Limud HaTorah. This, the fact that there's a minig to stay up the whole night, you know, which, like I said, just began in recent centuries, relatively speaking. It's just a method for us to work on our excitement and build up our cheshek, you know, and our fire to be mekabel the Torah. Whereas in previous generations, it wasn't as necessary. The famous reason that, you know, the Magen Avraham says, that everybody knows, that Klal Yisrael slept late, so to speak, on the day of Kabbalah Satira, and we're trying to do tshuva for that, and therefore we stay up the whole night. What that really means is that during Kabbalah Satira, there was a certain lack of enthusiasm, and that was expressed by whatever that means, that they woke up late, so to speak, whatever that exactly means, but there was a certain lack of enthusiasm. They shouldn't have been able to sleep the whole night. So we are making up for that, you know, and we're working on our enthusiasm and our excitement for Kabbalah Satira, so we're learning the whole night. It's not the learning per se, that's the point. It's the excitement and the you know, the fire and the drive to have a Kabbalah Satira. You know, we're trying to emulate the way tzaddikim of the previous generations used to react to mitzvahs. You know, there's a famous story, Chassidish Rebbe, the Berditchev Rebbe of Levi Yitzchak from Berditchev. They say that on the night of Sukkot, the first night of Sukkot, he couldn't wait until the morning to do the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog. You can't shake Lulav and Esrog at night. Lulav and Esrog you can only shake once it becomes day. So he was lying in his bed and he couldn't sleep all night. And he had his Lulav and Esrog in a glass case in his sukkah, and he was waiting for the morning, and he kept on looking to see, you know, when will the sun rise so that he could do the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog, and Pasha couldn't sleep the whole night. And the second that the sun rose, he was so excited that he stuck out his hand to grab his Lulav and Esrog and broke the glass. That's the story they say. But that's the excitement we're trying to emulate. You know, when we stay up the whole night, it's just to work on the excitement. It's just a method of us working on the excitement for Kabbalah Satira. And, you know, the Raimamus, the elevation that the Torah brings to a person is beyond what's understood, you know, in normal terms and by normal standards. You know, the tzaddikim and the Talmid HaChamim, their levels of chesed and their levels of care for other people and their relationships with people were beyond even what we can almost grasp in our normal, you know, way of understanding. I said this story in shul a while ago. My father-in-law just mentioned to me again, reminded me, you know, just, you can blow your mind, this story of Aaron Cutler. There was, you know, he lived in Borough Park, even though the yeshiva was in Lakewood, but he himself lived in Borough Park because Lakewood was still new at the time. The schools weren't really developed, so his children all grew up in Borough Park. And needless to say, he was a very, very busy man. He was raising money for something which was a very unpopular topic at the time. He was ready for people to learn in Kailo and for yeshiva, and he was working very hard on that. And yet, there was a man who was a Holocaust survivor and lost his family in the Holocaust, and very, very, very depressed and broken man. And Rav Aaron would always take time every day to go to him and speak to him and be mechazik him and give him hope. And he would tell him that, I'm telling you, you're going to get remarried and you're going to have children. And he promised him that, I'm going to dance by your daughter's chasana. Rav Aaron promised this man this, that. So sure enough, the man did get remarried and he had a daughter. But around when his daughter was 12 years old, Aaron passed away. Aaron passed away. And the man felt a little bad. He thought, you know, Aaron made a promise, and now he can't keep it. but okay, well, it's not out of his control. 6 years later, his daughter's 18 or 19, and she gets engaged and she gets married. By the chasana of Shner Kotler, of Aaron Kotler's son, comes to the chasana and starts dancing with this mechutin. And he didn't really know Rav Shner Kotler. He had known Rav Aaron Kotler, but he didn't know Rav Shner Kotler. So after the dance, then he sat down, he asked Rav Shner, why did you come to the chasana? I don't even know if I sent you an invitation. So he said, well, my father, 6 years ago, just before he was nifter, he told me, you know, there's a man in Borough Park that I made a promise that I would dance by his chasana. And I see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not allowing me to, but I have to keep my promise, so you go in my stead. This is on his head. This is on his head when he was passing away, Rav Aaron, you know, who had the whole Klal Yisrael on his head. But this is what he was worried about. So it's things that's beyond our comprehension, even, you know, towards even to relate to, levels of Reimimus, the levels of, you know, exaltedness that the Torah could bring a person to. It's not something that's even possible b'derech hateva. It's not something you can normally achieve. It's only through, you know, keeping the Torah and doing the mitzvahs and relating to the Torah and being a part of the Torah that we can come to levels like that. There's in previous generations, any mother in Klal Yisrael, her only sheifa, you know, her only hope was that her children and her husband would be Talmid Chachamim and the Vi'ev de Hashem. They say, it says in the Taldus of the Chafetz Chaim that the Chafetz Chaim's wife, when her husband was a chassan, when her son was a chassan, so she went with him to get a suit. So they went to the tailor and he measured him, and then they started measuring out the cloth necessary. And she said that he writes there, the son is writing this, that the minig was, you know, that was like the way it was done, is that as he was measuring out the clothes, he would start giving brachas to the chassan. That's the way it was in this, you know, in the shtetl. So he would give him brachas, that you should be zeichah to this, and to children, and to nachas. And while he was giving brachas, one of the things he says, and you should be zeichah to become an aisher, and rich, and have everything you need. And the Chavetz Chaim's wife says, no, that bracha mevatel. That he doesn't need. You know, he needs to be to learn, to become a Talmid Chacham. And, you know, in a way, it's hard for us to relate to, but the concept over here is that if you think of it in a secular terms, you know, someone who's hoping that their child should become, you know, a world leader, or to become, you know, a scientist that changes the world, or someone, etc. And you give him a bracha, he should be a garbage man, right? So that bracha, I'm a vatel. And that's what it was to the Chafetz Chaim's wife. You know, to be her son, to be a Talmud Chacham, was someone who would change the world. Well, learning Torah and being a Talmud Chacham, like it says in the Torah, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu by Zidayim that if there are going to be 5 or 10 or whatever the number of tzaddikim in the city, then I will save the whole city as a result, because of them. The Gemara says, anybody who says that I don't understand what Talmid Chachamim do for us is considered a kaifer, because there's a pasuk in the Torah that specifically says that we know what Talmid Chachamim do for us. They save the whole city. They save the whole world. The whole world stands on them. And that was the biggest accomplishment that anybody could have, the biggest nachas that anybody could have, is that their son is a Talmid Chachamim, he's holding up the world. And that was the sheaf of every person, that their husbands, their children, every man and woman, that's what they wanted from their family. To understand with a greater perspective, it was a very interesting thing about Kabbalah's Torah. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to give over the invitation to Kabbalah's Torah, to Klal Yisrael, so Hashem said as follows, Kaisem, this is what Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Kaisem l'beis Yaakov, v'sagad l'vnei Yisrael. This is what you should tell to Beis Yaakov, the Saget, and you should tell Levnei Yisrael. Beis Yaakov, Rashi says, is the women. And Saget Levnei Yisrael means the men. To the best of my knowledge, this is the only place in the Torah where women and men are given individual tzavoy, individual commands. Everywhere else in the Torah, men and women are always grouped together. Amar Levnei Yisrael, Ayom Levnei Yisrael, Ayadar Levnei Yisrael, always together. Never focused on individually. And this is the only place in the Torah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a specific commandment to tell the men and tell the women. Not only that, but Rashi says, it didn't mean together. You had to tell them separately. You don't speak to men the same way you speak to women. You tell men one thing and you tell women something else. It's a different way of talking. This is the first woman shir in history. That this was Moshe Rabbeinu had to give a separate commandment to the woman, a separate invitation, and she told them, "Atem reisim asher asisla Mitzrayim, you've seen what I've done in Mitzrayim, ve'esa eschem al kafin asharm, I carried you on eagle's wings, ve'avi eschem eloi, and I brought you to me, ve'ata im shamay tishma v'kaili, and now if you listen to me, u'shamartem as brisi, and you'll keep my covenant, ve'isim li segula, and you'll be special, mikal ha'amim from all nations, ki li ha'aretz, because I am in charge of the whole world, ve'atem tiuli, and you'll be to me, mamlechas kayanim, a kingdom of kahanim, v'goy kadosh, and a holy nation." So this invitation had to be presented separately to men and to women, specifically here by Kabbalah Satire. Fascinating thing. Why is that? But you look a little bit further and you see that the way Klal Yisrael answered was also very unusual. Moshe Rabbeinu started his address, so he attempted to address first the Ziknei Ha'am. That was the order of doing things. He first spoke to Talmid Chacham. And it says, "Vayanu kol ha'am yachtav." No one gave him a chance. As soon as he gave over the first message, it says everybody answered, and the Archaim HaKadosh explains, it means they answered in perfect unison. No one answered before, no one answered afterward, and no one said a different message. This is also probably the only time in history. All Jews agreed on the same thing. And everybody said, Na'aseh v'nishma. And the Medrash says that if even one Yid would have been missing in Kabbalah Satar, HaKadosh Baruch wouldn't have given the Tar. Every single Yid, and Yidin, and woman, and man, and child, were intrinsic and essential so that Kabbalah Satara should happen. And that's why this had to be presented to the men and presented to the women. This couldn't be a group, this wasn't a group deal. It was something that had to be done individually to every single person. Every person was incumbent upon them to be Mekabel Satara. Now what's interesting to understand is that what the Kabbalah Satara meant was, and what we're celebrating by Kabbalah Satara is not merely the fact we got the Torah, because in all truth, the luchos we got by Har Sinai were broken. And we got another one on Yom Kippur. So the Torah, so to speak, that we have was the Torah that we got on Yom Kippur, not on Shavuos. What we're celebrating about Shavuos is what it says in this pasuk, that during Matan Torah, a change came over the world. The world was rewired. Originally, the world was held up by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, as it still is, but that was the only factor. And after Matan Torah, the keyum of the world is through Klal Yisrael. The world survives from Klal Yisrael learning Torah. The world is only continues to every person's heart continues to pump, and every leaf turns green, and the sun shines, only because Klal Yisrael is learning Torah. Chaim Volozhiner says, if there would be one moment where throughout the whole world there would be no Limud HaTorah, no Kiyum HaTorah, the world would go back to Tohu Vavohu. So at the point of Matan Torah, there was a very... The whole way the world is set up changed drastically. And the Svarim explained that this is what the Malachim were so upset about. What changed was is that now everything in the world, every creation in the world owed its existence and its chiyus, and its kiyum, and its sustenance to Klal Yisrael. Us learning the Torah, we keeping the mitzvahs, is what keeps everything going. If people learn Torah over here, then this place will be successful. If a person learns Torah in a Beis Medrash in Silver Spring, then a person in Eretz Yisrael will be successful. If a person does a mitzvah over here, then a person over there will be zeichah to have children, a person over there will be zeichah to refuah shalema. Everything is interconnected. The whole world depends on our Kiyum Torah mitzvahs. That's what the Kabbalah Satara was. We were accepting on ourselves a tremendous responsibility. We were accepting on ourselves that Atam Tiyuli Segula Ki Li Kala Aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm in charge of the whole world. But now with Matan Torah, you're going to be in charge. With Matan Torah, it's your Kiyum HaTorah and your Esek BaTorah that will be running the world. And then the next thing that happened with Kabbalah Satara was Ve'atem Tiyuli Mamachas Kainim V'Kai Kaddish. Now we are the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That also made an enormous change in the world, an enormous change in our responsibility. We now have to act like Bnei Torah. And in last week's parsha, there was the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. There are two aspects to Kiddush Hashem. You know, there's Kiddush Hashem that we're familiar with, that you have to be Meiser Nefesh, you have to give up your life, not to be Eved Aveira, Shrichas Dam, Megillah Arayis, etc. But then there's an aspect of Kiddush Hashem that someone who's a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs has to act like a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. And people who see him should say, Ashrei Rabbi Shalom Deitairo, Ashrei Ava V'Ima Shagidla Leitairo. They should say that Baruch Hashem, there are people that learn Torah. Baruch Hashem, there are people that act like they learn Torah. There are people that live that way. Atam Tili Mamlachas Kainam V'Goy Kaddish. So through Kabbalah Satayra, we've changed what we are, and we've changed the whole world, and we've changed our effect on the world. And that's what Kabbalah Satayra is. So when it comes to the Yontif of Shavuos, what's expected of us is that we should appreciate and give some thought into what we have from the Torah, what benefit we have from the Torah, what benefit we have and how important we are in the world, and what a difference it is, the fact that we have Torah, how elevated we've become and how elevated we could become. And we need to reinstate our Kabbalah Satayra. We have to do another Nasa V'Nishma, another reacceptance of the Torah, regardless of how much we understand and how much we don't understand, how much we're willing to accept or not. We're going to accept it for, you know, with the full Kabbalah. You know, Torah, Kabbalah Satayra is also the only mitzvah. What time is it, by the way? 7 o'clock.
It's 8:15.
Shavuos is the only mitzvah in the Torah that requires preparation. No other mitzvah in the Torah has an official preparation set by the Torah. The Torah here gives Sfiras Aimer. What is the preparation? Preparation is to count. It doesn't say you have to do anything, but you have to build up your excitement. That's what it is. It's a specific form of counting. We're counting to build up our excitement, to prepare ourselves. There are many things that we need to do as well, you know, beyond what it says in the Torah. There's Pirkei Avos that we learn in between Shavuos, between Pesach and Shavuos, because if you want to be Mekabel Torah, you have to be a certain type of person. A person that has bad midos can't be Mekabel Torah. That's all true. But what the Torah it requires from us is to be excited about Kabbalah Torah. And to be excited about the fact that we're going to get the Torah again, excited about the fact that we're going to have the ability to celebrate Kabbalah Torah. That's what Hashem wants from us. That's what was the preparation. That's the preparation Torah gives us every year with Sfiras Aimer. So to answer the question, if someone wants to know what is it that we're supposed to be doing on Shavuos, really the question is similar to if someone asks, what are you supposed to do by a chasana? It's not a question you can answer. It should be self-understood. The Matan Torah was a chasana. It was a chasana between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're celebrating that. So what do you do by a chasana? You're happy. You dance. You sing. You celebrate. You eat a suda. You mesameach. You say divrei Torah. That's what you do by Shavuos. That's what Shavuos is. That's what the only thing that the Gemara actually says needs to be done on Shavuos is to celebrate the fact that we had a Kabbalah Satayra, to bring to yourself that appreciation of what the Torah means to us. The Pasuk says that V'haya im Shamaya Tishmu, you know, the Limud Torah and Kiyum Torah Mitzvahs is somewhat of a catch 22. In order to learn Torah, you have to have good midas. In order to have good midas, you really have to learn Torah. It doesn't really go one without another. So where does it all start? But that's part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the opportunity, is that there's a special Siyata Deshmaya, where if a person wants to learn Torah, that itself gives you the impetus, and it gives you the Siyata Deshmaya to be able to have good midas. And that's this time of Sfiras Aimer. This time of Sfiras Aimer, there's a special Siyata Deshmaya when preparing for Kabbalah Satayra, being that we want to be Mekabel Torah, we're working on our Ratzon to have Torah, be people that represent the Torah, be people that have that Sheifa, that desire in their life to see their children, their husbands, and their whole life to become a vehicle to bring more Kiddush Shem Shemayim and more Torah in the world. That itself is what gives us the power in the Siyata Deshmaya to be able to work on ourselves, to be able to change our midos, and to become people that are more capable of accepting the Torah. One point I just want to make is that, you know, the Gemara says that how is it that women are zeicha to the Olam Haba that's promised to people that learn Torah? So the Gemara says that's through bringing their encouraging their husbands to go learn and to bring their children to learn in school. So just to put this into a certain perspective, this is commonly understood is that, you know, you help your husband to go learn, so you have a shear in his limud Torah. I think a better mashal for this would be, if a person looks at a car, and he's driving in a car, so he would say like this, I'm driving in the body of the car. the wheels and the engine, they help. They help the car drive. But what I'm driving is the body of the car. That's silly. You're driving a car. A car is the whole thing. It doesn't drive because of the outside or the inside. The whole thing together is what drives. There is not a woman helping a man, and a man goes and learns. It's one unit. The man is the part of the unit that's actually sitting and learning. But it's all one thing. It's the what the Gemara is saying, that a mother who brings her children to learn, and her and a wife who encourages her husband to learn, she is the fuel and the gas and the encouragement and the power and the ability for a husband to learn. People that are lo'aleinu, you know, not married, and they're as we all know, you know, the very difficult to be a successful person. It's impossible. They, you know, haven't in the history of Klal Yisrael. There's basically only one exception where a person didn't get married and was successful. You know, Ben Azai. Otherwise, it's an impossible thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us that, all of us that way. So it's one unit. A woman's shir in Limud HaTorah is equal to what her husband's doing. The Netziv even says, this is a little scary, that in a way, a woman's shir in Limud HaTorah is greater than her husband, because she sends her husband off to learn. Now, if he wastes time, that's not her. She doesn't lose out because of that. She sends him to learn. He loses out because of that. So when it comes up to the big cheshbon up there, you know, she sends him for 2 hours of learning with that mysterious effort, with that mysterious effort, that encouragement. So that's she fueled that fire, and if he extinguished it, that's his problem. So, in a way, a woman's chelak in limud Torah is greater than a man. But in any case, the Cyrus is that we should all, you know, to focus, you know, what we're doing on the Antiv of Shuas, applying ourselves to the simcha that we are celebrating, the sudas that we are have, and the inspiration we have, you know, from the Divrei Torah, and from the simcha, and from the zmiris, and all the simcha we have of celebrating the Yantav of Shuas, all that is to be channeled into the big cheshik, the big desire and excitement that we have the Torah, and that it gives us the ability to be such different people, and our children to be such different people, and that we represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And with this, we should all be zeicha to a true Kabbalah Satira, and we should be zeicha that we should be all our children should be zeicha to become Tamid Chamim and Yirei Shemayim and Yodei Hashem, and together we should all be zeicha to bring Mashiach Tzakenu B'Meher Yimeinu. Amen. Amen.